Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. These Reformation Sundays are a wonderful celebration for Lutherans and for all of the children of the Reformation who have come to understand themselves as a movement within the Christian church. And that's how the Reformation begins. As a movement within the Christian church, a movement of faithfulness, a movement of joy. Now we know from our reading in the second lesson especially, you know from Romans 3, that at the center of the Reformation was Luther's understanding, this sort of revelation that came to him in his studies as a scholar, that we are not saved by what? By good works. Or, for that matter, any works. We're not saved by good works. A more modern way to say it might be that one cannot buy one's way into heaven. For Luther, in that time, he felt as though the gospel message of freedom and grace had been distorted. And as a church person, I hate to say it, that the church had become the center of people's religious life and not God. And what Luther saw in that was the destruction, in fact, of the body of Christ. That in the moment, Christ was no longer at the center. And tradition and religion and practice and rite had become the center, that we had lost something critical. As in every movement, as in every revolution, it began slowly and built almost to an unbearable crescendo. And people went off on all kinds of tangents in the middle of it. Luther suggested in one of his sermons that perhaps we ought not devote ourselves to the ornamentation of the church, the statues and the paintings and the gold-gilded organs. He thought perhaps that the center lied rather in the Word of God. And being good church people, they went over the top. And they ran out and they tore down the statues and they tore down the paintings, the iconoclasts. They did away with the beauty of the church. And Luther said, no, that wasn't it. It's the Word. And it's that Word that continues to be at the center of our lives today. We're supposed to be a movement within Christianity. This weekend I had the opportunity to hear Dr. Eddie Gibbs, who happens to come from the Anglican tradition, share with us his thoughts about the state of the church and the state of how things are going within the church. And he started out his time with us by saying, the thing about movements is they move. And I began to think that in the very moment a movement stops moving, it becomes a denomination. And we know from all of the studies being done now about mainline denominations, when one becomes a denomination, one begins to die. Because we root ourselves so firmly in what we believe to be right and proper that we no longer move with the Spirit. We get stuck. Every major mainline denomination in the United States is declining. Every single one. That is a sobering statistic. for those of us who sit in this place. Because although we might not be exactly mainline Lutheran, we certainly are mainline. And we are staring death in the face. Why? Why? Eddie reminded us, as so many people have, and in fact, as a lot of the evangelical folks have confided behind closed doors, that Lutheranism especially has an incredible gift that the world desperately needs to hear. And if we go the way of the dinosaurs, the world will not hear it. And that message comes especially clear to us in Romans 3. In that powerful little theological treatise, where it says that no human being will be justified in God's sight by deeds prescribed by the law. We are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is Jesus Christ. We began as a movement that tried to share with the world the power of Christ's word of freedom and grace. In a time when people were convinced that the way to please God was to continue to do good works, to buy things for the church, to buy indulgences, sort of a get out of purgatory free card. We believed at a time in our history that you didn't really need to know the word. And so we got up and we read it in Latin, and we preached it in Latin. My high school kids all the time talk about how boring church is, and I keep saying, well, what if we did the whole thing in Latin? Now that would be boring. But Luther believed that people should know the word. That they should, as it says in that wonderful text in Jeremiah, have that covenant renewed right in their minds. To know firsthand about God. To experience that grace in the healing words of Jesus. Imagine spending your whole life hearing the gospel in nothing but Latin. Catherine accepted. And for the first time in English, hear, for God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son to die. What an incredible freeing experience that must be. That is the gift we still have to give. The problem is, how do we get the movement moving? Last week I flew to the mainland for the first time since I've been here on the island, and I got to experience what all of you know so well, which is that whole jet lag thing. And I got over there, and I don't sleep on planes, and so it was the overnight red-eye flight, and I watched the sun come up over the smoky L.A., and we landed, and I spent the whole first day in conversation with people. I have kind of a vague memory about it. I knew that I was in this time zone, but I was still living. You know, I was in the mainland time zone, but I was living Hawaii time. In a sense, that's what's happened to our movement. We are a denomination in jet lag. We're in the present and moving into the future, but we think we're in the past. Sometimes we walk around in a fog, devoted to the wrong things, proclaiming the wrong tradition. And it isn't that we're that far off base. In fact, You know, so often I'm the one who's always saying, we need to change, 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 change. But it's interesting, our young people are not asking for all this new stuff. When I talk to the 20s and 30-year-olds, those people who, by the way, will occupy these pews when we are all long and dead and gone, they aren't looking for rock bands and they're not looking for, you know, all of that stuff. They're surprising the heck out of us. You know what they like? That stuff. They're steeped in the depth of tradition. They adore grace. They love God. And they want to hear it from us. But they don't want us to be stuck. What was powerful about Luther is that he knew when he was. He understood his culture and his time, and he knew that it was time for the gospel to be lifted out in new ways. He spoke the language of the people, and they moved. It's only when we as a church can read anew with a spirit and freedom and excitement those words of Jesus about truth, and be set free by them, as he says, free from our devotion to slavish tradition, free from our refusal to do anything new just because it's new, free from our slavery. Maybe if we can begin to post those questions on the door in new ways and seek new answers in our theology and in our church and in our structure, if we can begin to open things up a bit, then the movement will move. And new life, which is promised to us in Jesus, will shine through. I would hate in 30 years for someone, not me because I'm going to be retired, to be standing here at Lutheran Church of Honolulu celebrating the Reformation alone. What I would love is for us to renew our commitment to God and the Spirit. Renew the excitement and power of those Reformation times. Because the Reformation isn't something that happened 500 years ago and stopped. It's happening now in you. Luther helped us to understand the gift of grace and tradition and music and word. Christ sent us out into the world to share it. And we can't share it if we don't move. You are the body of Christ, moving in grace, fed by the Spirit, gathered, called, enlightened in Jesus. Move. Amen.